This meeting is being recorded.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. I have an issue on my Zoom. I don't know if you see it. I have two of me, and I would love to know how to get rid of the other one. And I think Bobby says she has an idea. So I will defer to her wisdom. And I admire that she actually knows. Is that it? Wow. Too simple. Too simple. Well, our parsha this week is Ki Tisa, and it's a very complicated one. There's a whole issue with this whole revelation, just in general. There is no chronology that works really well, because as you will see in this parsha, but more importantly, there are certain little things I'd like to emphasize. So basically, the story is that when Moshe does not return when expected from Mount Sinai, the people make a golden calf and they worship it. Again, if on another teaching, we'll talk about what that golden calf is and what is it really, are they really worshiping it or not. God proposes to destroy the errant nation. Moses intercedes on their behalf. Moses descends from the mountain carrying the tablets engraved with the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Sayings. Seeing that the people dancing about the idol, he breaks the tablets, destroys the golden calf, and has the primary culprits put to death. He then returns to God and says, "If you do not forgive them, blot me out from your book that you have written." And God forgives, and we learn about the 13 attributes at this point, which are the key to forgiveness. We still use those attributes during our Yom Kippur services. God says the effect of the sin will be felt for many generations. At first, God proposes to send an angel along with them, but Moses insists that God himself accompany his people to the promised land. And then Moshe prepares a new set of tablets, and once more he ascends the mountain. When God re-inscribes the covenant on these second tablets. On the mountain, Moshe is also, as I say, granted the vision of the divine 13 attributes. He returns, and it says, "So radiant is Moses' face upon his return that he must cover it with a veil, which he removes only to speak with God and to teach his laws to the people." As you know, very complicated. Each one of these items that I'm talking about deserves at least a semester of study. So a teaching that I found that really is, I think, profound for our practice and for our understanding of the world. A Thai meditation master, Achan Cha, says, "You see this goblet? For me, this glass is already broken. I enjoy it. I drink out of it. It holds my water admirably, sometimes even reflecting the sun in beautiful patterns. If I should tap it, it has a lovely ring to it. But when I put this glass on a shelf and the wind knocks it over, or my elbow brushes it off the table and it falls to the ground and shatters, I say, 'Of course.' But I understand that the glass is already broken. Every moment with it is precious." You know that we use this idea of the broken glass at weddings, which is kind of interesting, and we can discuss that, if you will, after this presentation. There's also the very famous Kotzka Rebbe Menachem Mendel, who says, "There is nothing so whole," whole, "there's nothing so whole as a broken heart." In an interpretation from the Chabad lineage, it says when we say broken heart, we're just not talking about love, because hearts can break for so many reasons. And Judaism teaches that being whole means allowing ourselves to be broken. In these especially difficult times for Jews everywhere, carry with us our shattered table, our shattered tablets. What are those shattered tablets? Well, for many of us after the events of October 7th, those who were murdered for the crime of being a Jew, that's the shattered tablets we carry. And shatteredness sits uncomfortably with optimism. A sweet vort. a word in Yiddish, a word. Once the people had achieved forgiveness and atonement for their failure, Moses was told to carve a second set of tablets. These were not the work of God as the first ones, rather they were the achievement of human work. They were merited through the repentance of the people and the stubborn pleading of Moses. These remained whole, these second tablets. But the second, whole tablets and the original broken ones were placed together in the ark. So too in the ark of your heart lie two sets of tablets, one broken and one whole. After all, when you find the infinite, where will you put it? In your broken vessel? It will not stay. In a new whole one, it will not fit. So you allow your heart to feel broken in bitterness for its confines, and yet it is whole in the joy of the boundless soul. And if you should say, but this is impossible, it is beyond the capacity of a created being to be both something and nothing at once. You are right, it's impossible. And that is precisely the advantage that humans hold over the angels. Only the human heart can be broken and whole at once. And this is why God created you, to join heaven and earth, nothingness and being, to make the impossible real. Our imaginative sages teach us that God congratulated Moshe on his breaking of the tablets. Yasher koach sheshibarta, it says. Wow, that's a wow statement. And we can discuss why God perhaps congratulated Moshe on his breaking of the tablets. So the mystery of the whole tablets, the Torah Misinai, the Torah given at Sinai. And why are the broken tablets eventually put in the Holy Ark and situated later in the Holy of Holies? Wouldn't it make more sense to leave them behind, to not be constantly reminded of the shadow side of our past? Through the breaking of the first tablets, the possibility of a second tablets emerged. And we see that the second tablets were created by Moshe, not by God. Pisolecha, you them, H-E-W, for yourself, it says in chapter 34, verse 1. And Moses' face shone when he brought those tablets down, not the first tablets. As we said earlier, the Kutzker Rebbe said that there is nothing more whole than a broken heart. Perhaps the tablets are in the Holy of Holies because only when we face and embrace our shadows are we whole. Moshe's heroic act of breaking the tablets was the catalyst for this realization. The Torah was given to us as imperfect human beings who 40 days later, after the giving of the Torah, could fashion and worship a golden calf. But therein lies the beauty, because we receive the message that no matter where we are or whatever is happening to us, everything is still possible. Transformation is always possible. We can find ourselves anew again and again, and even receive a greater light. The first tablets were God's gift to us, and the second tablets are our gift to God. Or as Leonard HaKohen, our great singer, says, there is a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in. Sometimes we call this the spirituality of imperfection. I'd like to end with a poem from a friend of mine, Roger Kamenetz. Some of you may know he was the author of the wonderful book about our trip to India many years ago, which talks about the trip and also the mixture, the combination of Buddhism and Judaism. So in a poem, he calls it The Broken Tablets. He says, Rabbi Joseph learnt both the tablets and the fragments of the tablets were deposited in the ark. A quote from the Talmud. And this is the poem. The broken tablets were also viewed in an ark. Insofar they represented everything shattered. Everything shattered. And so far they represent everything shattered. Everything lost. They were the law of broken things, the leaf torn from the stem in a storm, a cheek touched in fondness once, but now the name forgotten. How they must have rumbled, clattered on the way, even carried so carefully through the wasteland. How they must have rattled around until the pieces broke into pieces, the edges softened and crumbling, dust collected at the bottom of the ark. Ghosts of old letters, old laws. Insofar as a law broken is still remembered, these laws were obeyed. And insofar as memory preserves the pattern of broken things, these bits of stone were preserved through many journeys and ruined days, even, they say, into the promised land. So I found it very fascinating, of course, this idea of carrying around and seeing, in a sense, that even the shattered tablets have sanctity of a certain degree and can teach us something. So, of course, we all of us struggle, I think. I'll speak for myself. I struggle with those parts of myself that perhaps were not the best parts of myself over the years, that left fragments, that left pieces broken in the way I related to other people, in the way I often even relate to myself. And it's very, very important to realize that we have this capacity to have both the shattered parts of ourselves and the whole parts of ourselves, if there are any whole parts at all. Because as we said, it is in the brokenness that we find the wholeness. So I'll leave it with that. It's for me that, I mean, there's so much else in this parsha. As I say, we could spend months and months unraveling it. But for today, I wanted to just deal with those things about the whole and the shattered. So it's contradictory to a certain point. Or you can see it as a koan, which you have to try to reconcile these so-called or apparent opposites of the whole and the shattered. Okay. Thank you. It's just a beginning for us.